God bless you. You guys can be seated, man. Thank you so much. And I am super stoked to be here with you guys. And let me just say this about Pastor Mike and Mary Maiden. They're just amazing people. I mean, I don't just say that, you know, out of just proper etiquette or anything like that. I mean it for reals. And they're amazing people. You know, my wife and I are on the TV show Preachers of LA, and Pastor Mike actually prophesied to us that we were going to be on TV, and it wasn't going to be Christian TV, it was going to be mainstream TV. And so every time I get haters, there's a lot of lovers. There's a lot of people that, like, you know, they're super stoked. They see the importance of us being there. And I just soak all that up. But anytime I get a hater, I just divert it and say, it's all Pastor Mike's fault. Had he not prophesied to me, it would have never happened. And Christy and I also have another show that's going to be coming out in the near future. And so I can't wait for that to happen. And then the Putmans, all of them, man, they're just the whole dynamic of this church is amazing. You guys got an absolutely incredible, over the top, off the chain, amazing church here. And do you guys love your pastors? You know, I've been in ministry for a little bit now, and I would actually come to this church if I lived around here. And only somebody who's in ministry really understands the depth of that statement. Because most preachers wouldn't even go to their own church. And so if you have a Bible with you, that's a good thing to bring with you. I want you to go two places. I want you to put a marker, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and then I want you to go to Galatians chapter 4. So put a marker, 1 Corinthians 13. We'll get there in a few minutes, and we'll start out in Galatians chapter 4. As you're turning there, I want you to say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the next few moments that there would be a spirit of revelation throughout the remainder of this service. God, I pray that you would remove anything that can hinder, distract anybody from receiving from you. I thank you, God, that this service will not be just a distribution of information, but it will be revelation. God, you will speak to every single heart. You will sow the good seed into the good ground of every person of this church. I thank you, God, that the heavens are open over us. Jesus, you're the Lord of this service. Holy Spirit, you're the primary teacher. I ask, Lord, for you to allow me the privilege to stand in your heart and be your mouthpiece, be an oracle, God, that you would anoint my tongue, my lips, God. And I just pray that you'd use me, Father. Have your way in this place, God, in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning from this thought, breaking cycles, breaking unhealthy cycles, recognizing patterns in your life that may actually be holding you back from receiving and being everything that God has for you and wants to do in you and through you. I didn't grow up in the church world. I wish I had grown up in the church world. To me, the greatest stories and testimonies are the ones where people gave their life to Jesus at a super young age, and they have served him all their life. They never lived a life of habitual sin and felt the pain from those kind of choices and mistakes. To me, that's the greatest stories, but that's not my story. I wish that was. But I didn't grow up in church. I love my mom. I got an awesome mom. But my mom was a hippie. My mom was 15 when I was born. I grew up in that culture. So that was everything I was exposed to. My mother never actually gave me drugs or alcohol or anything like that. But I grew up in an environment where I was exposed to it and other people did. First time I ever remember getting high, I was probably around five years old. And immediately, I didn't become this drug addict or alcoholic. By the time I was 12 years old, I had probably a bag of dope on me any given day of the week. It wasn't unusual for me to always have weed. Then when I was 15, well, let me back up. I got a skateboard for Christmas when I was 10 and became a professional skateboarder a little bit later on and moved to California. When I was 15, living in California, one of my neighbors turned me on to cocaine. And that began a 12-year cycle of me struggling with addiction. I still managed to climb the ladder of success to a certain level. And at the same time, my addiction grew worse till eventually I began to lose everything. I began to just be stripped of anything that meant anything to me. There were these cycles in my life, and I would try to get my life together. I would try to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I would try to follow the advice of family or friends, but I always seemed somehow to fall. I would almost get back up on my feet and start getting my life together, and somehow I would mess up. It was like somebody was just jerking the rug out from underneath my feet. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like you almost get there, but yet something happens that messes it up. I've discovered that even though you've become a believer, you can still have certain cycles in your life. What brought me to Jesus was I was trying desperately to change my life, to get it together, because I was a functioning addict. I could keep a good front on, but yet my life was out of control. But there would be these brief moments where I wouldn't be using. And then I came out of a treatment center, went out and used all weekend long, came home, sat on the edge of my bed, 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I didn't grow up in church. I was never anti-God. I was never against God. I just didn't think about God. I thought about myself. That's the way I live my life. But sitting on the edge of my bed, I broke because reality confronted me in a way it never confronted me before. Because sitting there, all of a sudden, I could see how my cycles, the choices I was making, the way I was thinking and the choices that I was making, I saw what it was doing to other people. I have three awesome kids. My son was 2 years old at that point. Now, I remember sitting on the edge of my bed after being out all weekend, no sleep, doing cocaine, sitting there just wanting to come down, go to sleep, didn't want to be the way I was, so depressed, unhappy. I felt hopeless. Hopeless is the worst feeling anybody could ever have. I felt there was absolutely no helping me. I felt so hopeless because I tried desperately for 2 years to do everything I could to get my life together, but somehow I just wasn't able to achieve it. And sitting there on the edge of my bed, feeling as if this is all life's going to give me, I don't want any more of this, because living life was hurting too much for me. In that moment, it felt like dying would have been easier than living. Hopelessness is the worst feeling anybody could ever have. And in that moment, I just broke. It was like the scales fell from my eyes because I saw what my choices were doing to my son. He's 2 years old, a little baby. I wanted to be a good dad. I wanted to be a good husband. I wanted to be a good person. But I was incapable of being what I wanted to be. And in that moment, I broke and I started crying. I started begging God. I said, God, if you're real, why won't you help me? God did help me. God began to move in my life. Galatians chapter 4, if you're there, say, I got it. Verses 1 and 2 says, now I say that an heir or somebody who has an inheritance, as long as he is a child or immature, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. So you can have an inheritance, but if you're still living as a child or immature, you're not going to be any different than a slave, even though positionally you're a master. But rather than reaping the benefits from being master, you're experiencing the painful conditions of a slave. You have an inheritance. See, an inheritance is different than harvest. Harvest comes from what you do. Some people say they're lonely, they have no friends, but they don't show themselves friendly. The Bible says to have a friend, you got to show yourself friendly. You got to sow the right seeds to get the right harvest. That's one of the reasons we're givers in the kingdom. Because when we give, we are positioned to receive a harvest as a result of that giving. There are all kinds of things in the scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, that makes reference to our inheritance. One particular reference to our inheritance, the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That means everything he legally is entitled to, we are legally entitled to if we put our faith in him as our Lord and Savior. If he has it, we can have it. If he possesses it, we can possess it. If he does it, we can do it. Everything Jesus has accomplished has now been made available to us. We are joint heirs with him. So we have this inheritance, but if we are still stuck in an immature condition, we're not going to be reaping the benefits of that inheritance. So a harvest comes from sowing seed. There is a prevailing principle. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you can set your life up to where if you continually sow the good kind of seeds, the right kind of seeds, there will be a perpetual harvest that you experience. But an inheritance doesn't come as much from what you do. It comes from more who you're connected to. It's all about who's your daddy. Somebody shout, who's your daddy? Touch the person next to you and say, who's your daddy? Because when you have to understand, an inheritance is something that someone has predetermined to leave to you. They have predetermined to leave something to you, something of value, something they desire for you to have. They predetermine what's coming to you. When Prince William turned 30, he received $15 million from a trust fund that Princess Diana had set up for her two sons. And when he turned 30, he received that. Inheritance. Let me just read this to you in Galatians 1:2 again. It says, as long as he is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave. So, number one, when an inheritance has been left to you legally, it's yours. The entire time Prince William's inheritance was locked up in a trust, legally it belonged to him and nobody else. The reason Princess Diana put a date on the calendar by where it would be released to him, the reason she did that when he was 30, she did that with the hopes that he would be mature enough to handle it when he got it. So spiritually, our inheritance isn't connected to chronological time or a certain birth date when you turn a certain age after being a believer. It's connected to time in the sense of when you get to a certain level of maturity. When you get to a certain level of maturity, then God releases to you what he's already predetermined to come to you, because he says now is the time for you to receive it because you're mature enough to handle it. Because what can be a blessing to one person can destroy another person. And so he said he has placed this inheritance with guardians and stewards. He's positioned us under these guardians and stewards who have the responsibility to develop us so that we can mature and become the people that we've been designed to be. Guardians and stewards, they're your pastors. They're the people that speak into your life. They're the people that nurture you. They're the people that help you go through the different stages of development. And we should always continually be developing. We should always continue to be growing. You should never get stuck at one level. And that's the challenge sometimes, is that people will try to keep you to the level that they connected to you. And you can't allow where people connect to you to keep you right there. Just because they may not want you to grow, you got to make the decision that you're going to be determined to grow, whether anybody else likes it or not. You got to grow. The difference between a man and a child. I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians, turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. If you're there, say, I got it. It says this in verse 11. It said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The thing that separates a child from a man, an immature person from a mature person, is the way they think, it's the way they understand, it's the way they talk. The way they think, the way they understand, and the way they talk. An immature person has not been developed to the level that they need to be developed to, so that they can receive what God has for them to receive. The children of Israel, for example, when God brought them out of Egypt, they'd been in Egypt 400 years, generation after generation, they had been born in slavery. They grew up in a culture where all they knew was oppression, being treated harshly, dealt with in a very bad way. That's all they knew. They grew up in that horrible environment. When God brought them out after 400 years of slavery, his intention was to take them into the promised land. The promised land was their inheritance. For 400 years, they were God's people with an inheritance, living like a slave. You can be a child of God, but yet never walk into your inheritance. And God brought them out what should have been an 11-day journey, and it took 40 years. What should have taken 11 days ended up taking 40 years, and the generation that he brought out, even though they knew the promise was there, they never stepped into the promise. They died in the wilderness. God said, your inheritance, I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you a land where there's houses you did not build and vineyards you did not plant. That is going to be your inheritance. That's going to be your blessing. It's going to be a place of more than enough. God said, I'm going to take you out of not enough. I'm going to take you into more than enough. But they got stuck in the wilderness, the first generation. The reason they got stuck in the wilderness in the first generation is because they were making what was designed to be temporary permanent. In the wilderness, they had tents. They lived in tents. In the promised land, they were going to have houses. Houses are permanent places to live. They're permanent dwellings. In the wilderness, they made what God intended to be temporary permanent. Do not get stuck where you are, thinking that because you're not where you used to be, that where you are is where you're supposed to be. And you can't let other people tell you that you can't go there, you can't be that, you can't do that. Don't you know where you are? Don't you know where you came from? People like you aren't qualified for that. People like you aren't gifted for that. People like you aren't smart enough for that. And in the natural, you may not have the resources that would qualify you for the destination. But God's not looking at your resources to determine his destiny for you. And so what happened was they had a poor view of themselves based on where they had been. Because they saw themselves like grasshoppers, and so everybody else did as well. Their view of themselves was a negative view, and therefore they kept saying, we're not qualified, we can't, and came up with all kinds of excuses why they couldn't. And you can come up with a million reasons why you shouldn't become who God says you can be. But none of those excuses are legitimate excuses when it comes to determining what God wants to do in you. And so they were stuck for 40 years in this place of not enough. I pastor an awesome church. This is the second, right here, this church right here is the second greatest church in America. I pastor the greatest church in America, and I feel like everybody ought to feel like their church is the greatest church in America. But I pastor a bunch of gang members and all kinds of people. Socioeconomically, the diversity of our church is very similar to the diversity of this church. And don't mistake what you have in this house, because there's something super special about what God's doing here. But I pastor guys who have been hardcore gang members, or people who have been like career criminals and spent the majority of their adult life incarcerated in and out of prison. And I've discovered that it's a lot easier to take the homie out of the hood than it is to get the hood out of the homie. Because you can bring them out of an environment, but if you don't change their thinking, because their thinking has been developed by the culture of the neighborhood, and so they still respond to what comes at them the way they responded when they were in the neighborhood. And I got to tell these dudes all the time, dude, you're not in the neighborhood anymore. You're not the shot caller anymore. Now Jesus is the shot caller. You got to process what comes at you on a different level. You're now a kingdom citizen. You're not somebody that you used to be. You're a different person. He's brought you out of that. And if you don't change the way you think, if you don't change the choices that you make, if you don't change your behavior, you're going to start reproducing in your new life what you had in your old life. And God brought you out of that. And that was the struggle with the first generation that came out of Egypt, because they were struggling with a mentality that had been ingrained in their thinking from the culture that they grew up in. It's so important that you renew your mind. So important that you renew your mind. You got to renew your mind. The word renew is an amazing word. Anytime you put the word re in front of another word in the English language, it means to put it back or to go back where it was originally. Word renew. The Bible says renew your mind. It's actually saying that if we will develop our thinking, if we'll be intentional about changing the way we think, we can put our minds back into a condition in the garden before sin ever entered into humanity. In the garden before sin was ever committed, all Adam and Eve knew were good. They couldn't even perceive evil, even though evil existed. They were completely unaware of it because their thinking had only been trained to acknowledge and recognize good. And it wasn't until they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil were they enlightened to the reality of evil. And when all of a sudden they began to possess information as it pertained to evil, it was their downfall. That's why the Bible says in Romans, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Sometimes believers, I find believers getting frustrated over their conditions, and upon observation, I've discovered that their conditions have been created by their behavior, and their behavior is influenced by their thinking, because they've not renewed their thinking. They're thinking in a fleshly way, and it's producing harsh environments. They're feeling the pain from it, and I'm like, dude, if you just change your thinking, you can change your life. The only reason you're experiencing what you're experiencing is because you think a certain way. But if you change your thought life, you'll quit accepting some of the stuff you've been accepting. Because the only reason you're accepting it is because your mind is focused in a negative way. Change what you think. That's why the Bible says in Philippians, think on things, be intentional. Think on things that are pure and just and holy. Think on those kind of things. Think on things that are praiseworthy. You've got to use the weaponry that God has given you. He's given you amazing weapons that you can use. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And when the enemy begins to bombard you with those old stinking thinking thoughts, you've got weaponry that you can snatch that thought and you can pull it down and you can protect your mind and train your mind to think on good and not evil. Because your thought life, if it goes unchecked, will influence your choices. And when you make choices, it creates your behavior. And your behavior creates your conditions. Let me just say this thought coming to me right here. Not everybody wants you to get free. There may be some people in some of your lives that want to keep you stuck right where you are because they're benefiting off of you being right where you are. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were out doing ministry. There was a girl with a spirit of divination, and she was saying, "These men proclaim to you the way of the Most High God." Paul got vexed in his spirit after a while, rebuked the devil, commanded it to come out of her. And the Bible says her masters got angry because she brought them much profit. Whatever masters you will be lord to you. And they got angry because she brought them much profit. See, some people are benefiting off of your weakness. Can I keep it 100 with you? 100? Can I go there with you? Because like I said, I didn't grow up in the church world. You know, before I got saved, there was one point in my life, I was living in Atlanta, Georgia, when I was in the height of my addiction, and every single Friday, I'd get paid, and every single Friday, the dope dealer would call me up, say, "Hey, Jay, come kick it with me. Come on over, homie." I'd go over. He had turned me on to a line of cocaine, couple lines of cocaine, because he knew that's all he had to do before he got my whole paycheck. Some people don't want you to get free. Girls, let me tell you something. Some dudes don't want you to go to a higher level because they're benefiting off of your present level. And they're afraid if you go to a higher level, you may cut them off from what they're getting from you at this level. So they're... We should invite everybody to go higher. We should invite everybody on our journey with Jesus. We should encourage people. Let's go. Let's move forward. Let's step over into a better life. Let's step into our inheritance. Let's step into our destiny. Let's rise up as strong men and women of God. But if people say, "I want you to stay here," they try to hold you there, I want to encourage you. Say, "Adios, amigos. It's been nice to know you. Wouldn't want to be you." And so sometimes you've got to make that tough decision to break away from some people because they're going to try to keep you right where you are. You can't afford. Listen, our nation needs us. Your community needs you. They need us. They need us to be strong, victorious people that know how to successfully engage culture and let our light shine. The world's out of control. Part of the reason the world's out of control is because there's not enough people in the church that are being activated to be light and salt in the earth and engage the culture. We have been given what's needed to influence our nation. We're to be like leaven in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like leaven that's sown into the earth and it spreads and takes over. We've got to get out of this escapism mentality and begin to get a dominion mentality. Because what happens is some people get stuck in this cycle of pain and hurt that's created by their choices, and they just can't wait to get out of this life so they can go to heaven where everything's going to be perfect and peaceful. But there's a reason God left you here on the ground walking around. If God just wanted to get you straight to heaven, as soon as you come to an altar and give your life to Jesus, you'd fall over dead. The only good thing about that method would be we know who really got saved and who didn't. You didn't die, you better do it again. But we've got to get the mentality that we have been assigned by the King to come here. He's given us authority to subdue the earth and to have dominion. We, every single person, has been called to a lane, a sphere. There's been a sphere that has been assigned to you by King Jesus himself. And he needs you to rise up. He's designed you to rise up. You're capable of rising up. And let me say this. You know, different people have different experiences. Different people's bondage or slavery, is we're not all the same. All of our experiences have been different. So don't make the mistake of judging somebody in how fast they mature, or don't mature based on how fast you matured. Number one, maturity is connected to how you apply yourself. If you don't apply yourself, you can be a Christian and live your entire Christian life in an infancy stage, an immature stage, a childish stage. But if you apply yourself, you can grow up very quickly in the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, God said, in the last days, I will do a quick work. If you apply yourself, God will put spiritual miracle growth on you. But then number two, you have to understand, sometimes people have been so broken, so abused. And if you knew some of the stories that were in this room or in some people's lives, you would just be blown away that they're not locked up somewhere in an insane asylum because of everything that they have gone through and experienced. Don't make the mistake of judging a book by its cover, because there are some things in some people's lives they don't want anybody to know. But I want to encourage you, regardless of what you've gone through, you can't allow what you've gone through to keep you enslaved like a slave for the rest of your life. You've got to get healed from that. You've got to come clean with that. You've got to bring your pain, your hurt, your issues, what you've been through to Jesus, and open yourself up. Make yourself vulnerable. Invite him in. Allow the guardians and stewards that God has placed over you to reach in and begin the healing process and develop you and raise you up. Your inheritance is connected to who you're connected to. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll end with this thought. There's in Matthew, there was a man who had a son who had he had epileptic seizures. And this man brought his son to Jesus because he had tried other things to get his son freed from these epileptic seizures. And when he came to Jesus, he said, "This is my son." And he is often thrown into the fire and into the water. There are these cycles in his life where he's often thrown into the fire. I love the King James Version of that story because it says he's a lunatic. Because only a lunatic would continue to make the same choices over and over again, knowing that it burned them last time. It burned them every other time they made that choice. But yet they still make those choices thinking they're going to get different results. Only a lunatic continues to make those kind of choices once they've had that kind of experience. Pain is a motivator to quit doing something. When I spent part of my life growing up with my grandparents, and when I really cut up, my granddad would make me go out and get a branch off of a little bush in our yard. And he would take that branch and he would use it on my backside. The pain was designed to bring me to a point of revelation. If I keep doing this, I'm going to keep getting this. So if I don't want to get this, I need to quit doing this. But sometimes it's not that easy just to quit doing something. Because I wanted to change. I wanted to break the cycles. I wanted to get free from the cycles. But I tried so hard, y'all. I mean, I really tried. I put forth my best effort. I voluntarily looked for things that were supposed to be the solution to my problem. I utilized every tool that I was aware of. I didn't know God was available. I didn't know he was accessible. I didn't know that just like this man who brought his son to Jesus, I could also come to Jesus. I didn't know that. Until that one morning I sat on the edge of my bed and I begged God and cried, and I had that moment of revelation because I was hurting so bad. Life hurt, y'all. I mean, I was hurting so bad. I didn't want any more. And I contemplated ending my life. But in that moment of desperation, crying out to God, God heard that prayer. Because the Bible says, if you'll search for God with your whole heart, you will find him. And with all of my heart, I cried out to him that morning sitting on the edge of my bed. And I know God heard it, and he began to direct my footsteps. God can direct your footsteps even when you don't know he's directing your footsteps. God can set you up, y'all. Because fast forward a few Friday nights later, I forgot all about the prayer, and I had made arrangements to go buy dope from the dope dealer, but God didn't forget about the prayer, and God had a divine intervention waiting on me on that Friday night as I was going to the dope dealer's house. God put a businessman in my path, and that businessman began to tell me about how Jesus Christ had changed his life, and that night I opened up my heart. And I called on Jesus, and Jesus came into my life. And just like Jesus did for that man's son who was a lunatic, he did for me too. Jesus broke the powers of that cycle. And that was the last time I ever got high. Last time I ever used. And your cycle may not be my cycle, but we all have certain patterns that have been developed in us from the environment that's around us. And you've got to develop yourself to recognize the patterns in your thinking that are robbing you from your inheritance. And as you challenge those patterns, you can break through to the next level. It wasn't that the first generation didn't know the promised land was there. They saw it. They had reports of it. They thought they were walking toward it, but they kept murmuring and complaining and convincing themselves why they weren't capable. And God said, you're not capable in that condition to step over in it. Because when you step in it, I need you to be at a certain place of maturity so that you can handle what's going to be coming at you when you get in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? What you've refused to confront, you're choosing to accept. You can know it's over there, but knowing it's not good enough. You've got to work out your salvation. You've got to roll up your sleeves. The only thing that comes free in the kingdom is your salvation. But if you're going to go beyond just being a saved person and to being a kingdom person who's making an impact for the kingdom of God and the glory of God and walking in everything God has for you, you've got to go to work on you. Because the problem isn't your parents. The problem's not with a system. The problem's not with a man. The problem's not with a school teacher. The problem is with a dude that you look at in the mirror every time you walk up to it. You got to quit buying into the victim mentality. Well, I'm this way because my dad wasn't there. I'm this way because I grew up in this neighborhood. I'm this way because this happened to me. And I'm not trying to minimize the painful experiences that some people had, because I cannot even imagine experiencing some of the things that some people tell me sometimes. But what I'm trying to tell you is that you cannot afford to allow those experiences to pull you down and to hold you back. I want you to understand that God's bigger than every pain you've ever experienced. God's bigger than every challenge you've ever had. I want you to know that God can lift you out of that pain. That night when I gave my life to Jesus, I mean, this guy was on fire, y'all. He just wasn't a little bit saved. This was a guy, he's a politician, he's a mayor, he's a businessman, he's an entrepreneur. This guy's leading me to Jesus. And all of a sudden, you know a Christian is serious when they got oil on their keychain. Because this guy, it reminded me like some kind of like gunslinger movie, because he's leading me to Jesus. He comes out with a keychain. And I don't know, you know, I never read a Bible, y'all. The only Bible I'd ever seen was in my grandmother's living room. My grandmother had one of those living rooms that had plastic covering over everything. And you only went in there like Christmas and special occasions. And if you went in there and it wasn't a holiday, it's because you were in trouble. And that Bible she had a holographic image of Jesus on it. And so anywhere you were in the room, he was always staring at you. So I was like, it's as close as I'm getting right there. And I'd never read a Bible. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what oil was. And this guy puts some oil on his finger and he anoints me. And he lays his hands on me. And I felt all the hurt. I felt all the pain that was keeping me stuck in my condition. Because I was making choices out of the hurt and the pain that had been ingrained in me from all of my life's experiences. And I felt it come out of me. It was like my hair was sticking straight up. I could feel it. It was like somebody lifted this building off of my shoulders. This man didn't even ask me. He just started praying, Jesus, baptize him in the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I felt the most incredible peace and love that I'd never experienced in anything I'd ever experienced in life. And I'd been looking for it. I'd been looking for love. I'd been looking for acceptance. I'd been looking for peace. And for the first time in my life, I had it. And ever since that moment, I've refused to let go of him. I've refused to go backwards. I am determined to move forward. And I want you to know, the reason I'm telling you what he did for me, because I know he'll do it for you. The cycles can be broken if you will confront them. It's not that I got saved and never had any more resistance, because I did. There were moments. I didn't know how to be a dad. I didn't know how to be a husband. I'd never had that role model. I had to learn how to be that. It felt uncomfortable at times. I had to learn how to be a different way. I had to push through the uncomfortableness of walking out that process of going from what I used to be in an attempt to become what God wanted me to be. But if you don't grab a hold of this and push into what God has for you, don't allow the resistance to keep you back. I just feel that in my heart. There's so many in this room right now. They have allowed the resistance to keep them stuck, to keep them like a slave. God says you're not a slave, you're a master. You're to own that thing. You're to be the boss of that thing. You're to put that thing back up underneath your feet. I read a verse in the Bible where he said, are you not all gods? When he said that, he's not saying you're just like Jesus. He's not saying, hey, aren't you like Jesus in the sense that you are a deity? It's not what that means. When he said, aren't you not all gods? What he was saying was, don't you all have the right to rule your life? It's what he said in Genesis. I want you to be my ambassadors. I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you authority over your life. I'm giving you authority over the sphere that I've assigned to you. And you're to get your directions from me. I want you to understand that you have the right to rule your life in Christ. That you don't have to accept and tolerate stuff that keeps you bound and chained up. Who the Son is sets free is free. You're free. You're already free. Some people just don't know they're free. And some people allow the resistance to keep them a slave. I want to pray with you this morning. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. First, I want to pray with people. I want to pray with people, number one, who've never given their life to Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that God loves you. He's not against you. He's not mad at you. He is for you. He's on your side. He loves you beyond your ability to comprehend. His thoughts are constantly towards you. His thoughts are good and not evil. Maybe you've drifted away from God. Maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe the enemy's somehow pulled you back into a place where you know God doesn't want you to be, and now you feel guilty and shameful. You feel condemned. You no longer have any confidence in Christ. You feel worthless. You don't feel worthy. The enemy's beat you up. He's lying to you. God's not against you. God's not departed from you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is here with his hands stretched out. His face towards you is not frowning, it's smiling. His heart, if you could feel it, would be filled with love coming towards you. He's calling you and inviting you to come to himself. You're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus. Well, you've drifted away from God. When I count to three, I want you to raise your hand because I want to say the same prayer. I want to pray the same prayer with you that that man prayed with me that night that changed my life and broke the cycles. When I count to three, raise your hand. Don't wait, don't delay, don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. On the count of three, lift up your hand. There's hands already going up. One, two, three, raise them up, raise them up. Raise them up, raise them up, raise them up. Keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. Raise your hands all over this place are being raised right now. Hands all over this church are being raised right now. I'm going to ask every person who raised their hand to stand right where you are. I'm going to pray with you right there, right where you are. I'm going to pray with you. Stand. You can do it. Thank you, sir, for standing. Go ahead. Stand. 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 You got your hand raised. Stand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you. 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 All over this place, people are standing right now. Saying yes to Jesus. In the kingdom, we're all together. Every ethnicity, every skin color, every race, every nationality, every economical level, we're all together in the kingdom. The Bible says we're neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female, nor bond nor slave. We are all one in Christ. And I want every other person in this room to stand with these who have already stood, because we stand together. We stand together. I want to lead us in a prayer. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I want everybody to pray this prayer. Put your heart into this. Mean this. Be sincere. Say this with me. All of us together. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. Come into my life. I give you everything. I am yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Woo! Can we just sing that for a minute? Go ahead.
Jesus Christ. Altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
What I want to do. Pastor Bob asked me to turn it back over to him for a moment, but I want to pray with people. I want to pray with people because there are people, good people in this room right now that have recognized patterns in their life. And it's not because you don't love Jesus. It's not because you're not all in. It's not because your heart's not committed that you've been held back by these patterns. But today, all of a sudden, it was like the light came on and you recognize, wow, that way of thinking, that thing, that's been holding me back. And I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you to break that off of your life. So I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Bob for a moment. And then when he gets through doing his thing, then I want to invite people to come to this altar so I can pray over you. So please do not leave. And then tonight, I want you to come because I want to pray over every single person personally if they need it. I want to give everything I got. I want to give it out. And I want to minister to you. I want to help you. If you need a miracle, come. If you need a miracle, come. If you need a breakthrough, come tonight. Amen.
You can be seated for just a moment. We're going to receive a love offering for Pastor Jay. How many of you believe a workman is worthy of his hire? I believe God, yes. I believe God has assigned him here today, this Sunday morning, to minister a life-changing word to each and every one of you in this building that will respond. So we're going to receive a love offering. I'd ask everybody to do something to bless him. We want to send him back full and blessed with a good report. So ushers, I'm going to release you to go ahead and receive a love offering for Pastor Jay as we worship here. Please don't leave the building. God is just getting started to do what he wants to do this morning. So just bear with us as we receive this offering. We worship and we're going to come right back together in prayer.
There's somebody in this room, you have issues with your kidneys. Somebody, kidney failure, somebody having issues with their kidneys. Who are you? I want to pray over you right now. Right over there, somebody with issues with your kidneys. Who is that? Just hurry, I can't. Come right here, I'm going to pray over you. Thank you, Jesus. Every single person, issues with your kidneys. Do you have kidney failure? Okay, just here you go. Let the power of God just flow to you. Here's the presence of Jesus flowing into your body. The Lord's not only just touching your body, the Lord's touching your heart. God's going into a deep place inside your heart. He's pouring healing in. I see healing being poured in. God's going to heal the pain. You've been carrying pain. You've got this pain. It's been locked up on the inside of you. And God said, unlock it, open the door, let him come in. And his presence right now is going to heal your body, heal your life. He's going to heal your heart. Joy, you're going to begin to experience joy like you've never experienced ever before. Touch him, Jesus. Give her more, Jesus. Give her more of your healing, more of your presence. Thank you, God. Every symptom, leave in her body in Jesus' name. Kidney. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lay my hands on her. And I thank you that she is healed right now. Her kidneys are being healed right now. Every obstacle, everything, right? Every symptom being removed in the authority of Jesus' name. Miracle right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Kidneys. Father, touch her in the name of Jesus. Touch her. There you go. There's presence. There's God's presence touching you right now. The Lord's touching your body. The Lord's touching your body. The Lord's strengthening you in the name of Jesus. Okay, Lord, in the name of Jesus, a miracle right now, do a miracle in his body. Thank you, Father, a miracle in Jesus' name, a miracle in Jesus' name, a miracle in Jesus' name, complete healing in Jesus' name. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just feel this flowing to you. In the name of Jesus, I release this to flow into your life. God, touch you. There you go. There's God's presence. There's his healing coming on you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just give her more. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing in her body right now. Thank you for touching her. Thank you for touching her. Thank you for touching her. Thank you, God, for grabbing a hold of her. Thank you, Father, for raising her up. Thank you, God, for taking her higher. Thank you, Lord, for lifting her out of where she's been. Thank you, God, for doing miracles in her life, even when she didn't realize you were doing miracles in her life. Thank you, Father. Touch her in your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, touch her in the name of Jesus. I release healing to flow into her body. I speak to her body. I speak healing in Jesus' name. I release miracle working power in her life in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Lord, touch her in Jesus' name. Touch her. Touch her, God. Lord, I release healing in Jesus' name. I want to pray for everybody right here. Wait 1 minute. I want every person who has recognized today that those patterns have been there, and you know you need to confront them and break them, I want you to get out of your seat and come to this altar. And I want you to come and I want you to begin to pray about those things. You come and talk to Jesus. God will honor my prayers, but God wants to hear your prayers. Thank you, Father. God's presence flowing into your body. God's touching you. God's healing you. God's doing a miracle in you. Touch Jesus. Touch him. Lord, touch right now, Jesus. Here you go. There's God's presence flowing into your body. Touch her, Jesus. Touch her. Touch her, Jesus. More Jesus. More Jesus. More Jesus.